your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, this is Ask a Pastor, and Ask Pastor Andrew Peary is our Ask a Pastor pastor for today and the rest of the week. And our question for today, Mfundisi, is what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer?
John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that gives life and the flesh profits nothing. So one, the Holy Spirit animates us to live a righteous life. Then the same John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then he goes on to say, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper or another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he is the Spirit of truth who now reveals the truth to us. And then John chapter 16, from verse 5 to 15, tells us the work of the Holy Spirit. So he comes and he convicts us. So because he's animated this body that was once dead, brought it to life, now then he animates it, and we begin to become aware of when we are sinning, when things aren't okay. He just begins to make us aware of these things, which is what the Bible in John says convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then he says he will lead you into all truth. So he begins to reveal stuff about yourself, about your family, about your life, about the world, about the state of affairs. So that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He just begins to make you alive in the world for you to be an active participant in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we are not that, the Holy Spirit is failing its job. It's sleeping on the wheel.
It's us, actually, because the Spirit of God convicts, but we still need to actively participate. So this is where he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Or where Paul said that their conscience was seared or with an iron, right? Because if you're not acting, then your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit continues to become dull, to a point where you now don't even sense the Holy Spirit anymore. You don't even feel guilty. Your conscience is dead.
So who's more powerful here, Pastor? Us or the Holy Spirit?
I would say the Holy Spirit, but because of that thing called the free will, that gift of being able to choose, we retain some power.
Mfundisi, forgive me. This may be a slight digression, but it is. I promise it is very, very intertwined with what you just said right now. Where do we get this from, of this freedom of choice? It sounds all so wonderful, but I don't know if it has any biblical basis. Is there a biblical basis for the freedom of choice? God has given us the freedom to choose.
Let me find myself in Romans, I believe it is. Romans chapter, I think it's 14.
Okay.
Romans chapter 14. I think this is where one can begin to build the argument for this freedom of choice, because it's the law,
right?
The law of freedom. Verse 5 particularly, if I can read that one.
Okay.
One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Meaning you've got to, each one of you must be able to choose. So that there appears to be this window or this allowance that God has given us to be able to choose. We see it even when Joshua is talking to the Israelites, choose you this day, because God respects that choice.
Hold on. With Romans 14, this is not about choice, Mfundisi. This is you giving in to what you're already convinced of. So the full chapter there is about one's perspective of what is right, what they're already convicted of. So there, it doesn't say people must choose. It simply says one must be convinced, or whatever is it. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So don't be double-minded. And that's what you're going to find in the rest of the reading there. Because Paul is disagreeing with people who are double-minded. One minute they're here, one minute they're there. Like Christians of today. And that's what I'm trying to suggest. That in chapter 14, it's not the freedom of choice. It is God speaking through Paul to say, pick a side, Baba. If you are a Christian, then be fully convinced of it. Don't doubt. So that's what I'm reading there, Pastor. Because even the verse you read to us doesn't say you people must choose. It says one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced. It doesn't say each one must choose. It says each one must be fully convinced in his own mind.
How about Galatians 5?
Okay.
Verse 13. What's your reading of it?
Verse 13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but to not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So
that's
there,
another text that...
Yeah, here, it doesn't speak about choice. It speaks about freedom. Not freedom of choice, but freedom of doing whatever you want to do. Remember, the freedom of choice is exactly the liberty that is enshrined in the Bill of Rights, like any other civil liberty.
Right.
That gives you the right to choose. But here, when you read verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. It doesn't say to choose. It says to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. So that freedom is curtailed as well. So even though you are free, but don't sin. So you're not given the choice to sin or not to sin. You're given the freedom, but that freedom is within certain bounds. And that's what I'm trying to establish, that when we are going to insist that God gave us the freedom of choice, where do we get that freedom of choice? Yes, there's freedom. And there are moments where God, like in Joshua, where he says, choose ye this day. But I was looking forward to you basing it that there is a law of freedom, just like we have in republics today. Republics or Republican politics speak of the civil liberties that are enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That speaks of the right to do this, the right to do that, the right to do that. Here it says you have a freedom. And even with Deuteronomy 28 speaks of, I give you life or death, choose life. That's not freedom of choice, though. If you're going to die if you don't choose what you're told to choose, that's not freedom of choice. Even with Joshua that you have asked me about, God doesn't give them a choice there. He simply says, choose ye this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my children, we will choose the Lord. And then he knows after that, people are going to die.
Well, perhaps we need to understand the difference between the freedom of choice.
Yeah.
And that does not equate the freedom of choice of consequence. Because if choosing to go swimming when I don't know how to swim means I will drown, it doesn't mean I'm not free to swim.
Yes.
I am free to. But because I have the knowledge that I don't know how to swim, I will not go swimming because of that knowledge.
Right.
So the consequence at the end of it does not mean that I'm not free to choose that.
So there's a text message that just came in. And to the person who sent the text message, thank you very much. This person says, hi, I have a question. How does the Holy Spirit's guidance in relation to John 16:13 relates to personal decision making and discernment? So I'm interjecting my question, Mfundisi, with this person's question, because this person is more important than my question. So we can park my question and my inquiry, and let's pursue this person's inquiry. This person is asking about John 16, verse 13. Do you have it before you, Mfundisi?
I do.
All right. So I'm going to read it so that everyone can know what this person is talking about, and then you can answer after I've read it. Is that all right, Mfundisi?
That's very okay.
All right. John chapter 16, verse 13 reads as follows from the NIV But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So kindly respond, Mfundisi. This person says, how does the Holy Spirit's guidance in relation to this verse we just read now, John 16:13, relate to personal decision-making and discernment? Pastor? Ah, okay. The pastor's still there, but the line is down. Pastor,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was saying I'm trying to simplify the the answer, because I like to simplify everything.
Yes, please.
And it is that first of all, wants the best for you. And because we are limited in our experience, we're limited in how much we can see ahead of us.
Right.
The Spirit of truth comes to reveal to us what's coming ahead,
right,
so that we can properly make the decisions. And sometimes these experiences, based on what your relationship with God is like, some of these will be strong impressions, some of these will be comments from friends or from trusted confidants who will say, I don't think this is the best decision. And when it relates with your conviction and your discernment, you'll be like, yeah, you're right, this is. So he's very much involved in our personal decisions, because these ones are the ones that impact on our corporate decisions in the long run.
So how is it my decision if I'm told what to decide? John 16:13 says you're going to be told.
You're told what is coming. Then you can decide. Again, I tell you. We have the traffic watch warning, right?
Sorry, Mfundisi, you got cut there. Say that again.
Have a decision to make.
You were cut there. Can you just start again, Mfundisi? You said you're not being told, and then you got cut there. Just pick up from there.
Okay.
And it gets cut again. Pastor, are you there?
I am. I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was saying, he tells you the things to come, not what to do.
Okay, the first part of verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into the truth. So that truth, you didn't arrive at it by yourself. You were told.
Yes. You were guided. So if I tell you, for example, that thing that Tepu Khadima does, where he forecasts, you know, issues in the country, and if someone tells you we will have an economic crash next year, will you not, based on that information, make decisions to safeguard yourself?
Yeah.
I imagine that you will.
So the issue of guidance, Mfundisi, is one perhaps that needs to be clarified, because a guide generally, which is the most simple and most plain explanation, is a person who sees what you don't see, right?
Right,
so
right.
So if you're blind, a guide is a person who's going to walk the path before you and hold you by the hand so that you follow the path they are leading. That's what a guide does. So you don't get to your destination by yourself. You get to the destination because the destination was charted by the guide. So it is the guide that sees. If you say, I want to go to Zambia, and it takes you to Malawi, you will be none the wiser. You will arrive in Malawi thinking that you're in Zambia. Why? Because the guide got you there. You're blind. You don't know where you're going. So a guide is actually the person that decides where you are going. And the question that I'm asking here, based on this person's question, is how am I choosing if I am guided?
I'm really trying just to simplify it. You have the choice to refuse the help of the guide. You're only with the guide because you trust the guide.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only, that you have got to trust that this person is going to take me where I need to go.
Right.
If you sense anything in their voice and they sound like, hey, this one might lead me to the wrong place, you have the choice to say, I'm not coming. And many people have chosen not to move with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because they want to do it by themselves. But what Jesus is telling us, and all of this is based on our faith in God.
Right.
Like, without that, the Holy Spirit means nothing to us.
Yeah.
His guidance is nothing to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this person has sent another question. So I'm going to send the second question to Kirsty so she can schedule it for Ask a Pastor. Let me just see if I can see a name here. Okay. Here it's written Shomo. Shomo, I'm going to, the second question that you're asking here, I'm going to send forward it to Kirsty, and then Kirsty, my producer, is going to schedule that question to be answered by a pastor also, because it's related in the sense that it's talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's slightly dissimilar to what we're talking about right now. So I'm hoping you understand, Shomo, what I'm saying right now. I'm not ignoring it, but I'm going to forward it to Kirsty so she can schedule it for Ask a Pastor segment for another day. All right, Mfundisi, okay, so the verse then continues, he will tell you what is yet to come.
Yeah.
So you're using the example of a stock market or the economic downturn as what is yet to come, and then we take a decision. That's your example, right?
Yes.
So how do we decide if we don't know what to do?
How do we decide if we don't know what to do?
Yes. So, for example, when there was going to be an economic downturn in Egypt, the Bible says God gave the Egyptians Joseph, who knew what to do. The Pharaoh allowed Joseph to do what needed to, because the Pharaoh himself did not know. Now that there's going to be 7 years of material plenty and 7 years of material poverty, what then should we do? And then Joseph said, we need to store up, put things into storehouses. He knew what to do. Joseph knew what to do. So there was no way that the Pharaoh was going to take any decision either way, because he didn't know what to do. So my question is, how can we choose? How can that choice be implemented if we do not know what to do?
Yeah. I want to differ with you a little and say that Pharaoh knew what to do.
Okay.
And what to do was to find somebody who knew exactly how to navigate that period. Okay. Which is what he did.
Right,
He realized, I don't have the expertise. And based on what this young man has said, there's nobody else I know who will help us navigate these waters but him. And I mean, I think that was a very special arrangement for Joseph, because that was Joseph's time to shine.
Right.
But if we don't know what to do, then it's a bigger problem for us. But the first point is for us to realize, if we don't know exactly what to do by ourselves, we can always reach out to another person or reach out for professional help.
Yeah.
A life coach or a counselor or something. Somebody who will say, who help you say, have you tried thinking of going to the bank to ask these questions, or have you, you know, things like that. But you might not know what to do yourself, but that doesn't mean you don't know what to do. You can always go find somebody who has the knowledge to be able to help you navigate that that space.
And when you can't find a person who has the knowledge,
then it's tough for you.
Yeah.
You must just now pray and have God give you the gifts.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I give myself as an example. If I had more time, I'd tell this story. But my growing up did not prepare me for a lot of the things I'm doing now.
Right.
And one of the things that when I sit down and I'm patting myself on the back of my, and I'm telling myself I'm so proud of you, is the way I've gotten up and started to navigate life.
Right.
It wasn't in my childhood training.
Okay.
But I want to believe that it was the Spirit of God just preparing me, because I would have been a destitute, you know, without what God is doing in my life now.
Right.
It's been a lot of talking to friends. It's been a lot of just following convictions on my heart and doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And I think anyone and everyone can do it, because if God can do it in my life, I know He can do it in anybody else's life.
Okay. I hear you. I hear you, Shomo. I'm hoping your question is answered, and I'm hoping you understand what we're going to do with your second question. The second question says, also, what is the relationship between the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit's sanctification in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 to 14 and the believer's pursuit of holiness? So you,
I love it.
Yeah. So I have forwarded it to Kirsty, who's my producer, who's going to schedule it for Ask a Pastor. Okay. All right. Shomo says yes. It has. Thank you. Okay. I'm assuming you understand. All right, Pastor. Thank you very much for your time and your insights. Looking forward to your answers tomorrow. And I don't know whether you'll be the one answering Shomo's second question when Kirsty schedules it, but it'll be.
I love it.
It's up to her what she's going to schedule for. Yeah. Oh, okay. She has said noted, so she will schedule it. I don't know when, but she's the boss. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much, Nayan. Have a wonderful day. And wonderful day to the listeners as well.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.